accession number 27346, reel 2.
Robert Thornton, reel 2. What was it like being posted to the Orkney Islands? What was it like up there as a posting?
Boring. It was terrible. One spent one's time doing endless patrols, which you knew had to be done. You couldn't blame the Navy for wanting it done, but it wasn't what I had gone into the Navy to do, rolling up and down the Northern Islands and messing about. But it wasn't going to be for long. And I thought very soon they're going to want somebody as brilliant as me.
Was that the period that you were actually attached to a battleship? While you were up in the Orkneys?
Yes, yes. I was attached to the battleship for 2 weeks.
And what did they want you to do while you were on board?
Well, they made a big mistake. They wanted to have the aircraft on the ship, and it wouldn't work. It couldn't be done, and therefore it lasted 2 weeks. And so I was a what you'd call a midshipman, I suppose, or yes, I was a naval officer, and I was with all the young naval officers aboard the battleship, and whose name escapes me for the moment. And it was soon over. I was back into flying, proper flying.
You told me off the tape, though, of something else you developed to help you for your personal survival while you were on board the battleship, though.
Well, I was mad keen about everything. I was absolutely certain that there would come a moment where, if it happened, I would be swimming. And now, what am I going to be wearing when I swim? And how am I going to go about it? So I gave it a lot of thought. So, and oddly enough, I did it when they were all at church, aboard ship, and I decided that they could have a word with God, but I'm going to have a swim. And that's what I did. And a day or two later, I was back flying and no ships.
I believe in early 1944, though, you went to your first real operational squadron was it 846 squadron?
Yes.
Aboard HMS Tracker.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the posting to the squadron, where you went and how you were met?
It's hard to remember how I was met and even where it was. My goodness, fancy not remembering that. It was in Northern Territory, and there was a young Navy girl who picked me up and took me to the ship. I took her out for the night. I came off the ship again. Took her out. And so I got back rather late that night, as I remember it. She was very nice, but I can't remember what it was.
What was the ship like? Because obviously she's a carrier, but what type of carrier was Tracker?
Well, I thought it was a very adequate one. It seemed to me to be. It had a big spread deck, and there was plenty of room for big aircraft, and they were big aircraft. And the first run from it, all the major runs in the early days, were with convoys. And this happened almost immediately. And there had been, for the very first time, there was American aircraft on this particular ship. And they were lovely. And they were very authentic killers. And so almost immediately, in fact, yes, what had happened, it all happened very quickly, because already one of the air crews had died. There had been, as usually happens, you're just messing about and you die. And I took the place of the navigator. And they had not done any flying of the kind I had done, because they had been in America. And they had come back from America to do the right thing. And they'd been flying from and learning in American airfields, which was a very big plus, really. And of course, very fine aircraft. And so I thought, this is great. And it turned out, immediately, there was a need for a journey to Russia, and or really quite quickly. And we had quite a few German aircraft that was silly enough to get in our way.
You mentioned that the aircraft were nice. Am I right in thinking that was the Grumman Avenger you were operating
yes.
at that stage?
Yeah.
In that, could you just tell me where, as a navigator, you were positioned within the aircraft?
Yes.
And what facilities you had?
Yes. Well, there were sometimes, but for a brief period, there were three people in the aircraft. There was the pilot, the navigator, and a gunner. But it as far as I was concerned, it was absolutely stupid to have a gunner as well, because I wanted myself to have the gun. and that's what I arranged very fast. I'll do that. And they were fine aircraft. They could take any amount of punishment. They were heavy, and but they were, I thought they were great stuff, and they, as far as I was concerned, I'd have done that forever, flying in those aircraft, off aircraft themselves that seemed to me to be totally adequate for what we were likely to do, which was to fight.
And was that the role that you would have? Would it be a strike role you would have, or would you actually fly things like anti-submarine patrols as well? Would you? Would it, or would it be both?
Both. We would. It got as time went on, it became more and more interesting. There were so many things to be done, particularly because the movement between Scapa and the northern Russia, which was to be the route, really, and which it started about a month or 6 weeks after I joined the aircraft carrier. We first of all went down to Gibraltar and came back, and immediately we were going north to Russia. So it all happened very quickly, and a lot of usage, and quite a lot of bullets were flying about.
Was that the case in the Gibraltar convoy, or was that...
No, not the Gibraltar one. Yes, there were, yes, several German aircraft became involved and were shot down by the American aircraft that we were flying in. I wasn't involved in any of that, but I think there were two or three German aircraft were silly enough to get near to the convoy, and that was, yeah, and then we had this Russian trip, which was staggeringly interesting, and the there was quite a few squadrons involved in it. And the guy who was running the whole show turned out to be my neighbour in Scotland. He's dead now. Very, very, very dead now. And so we... It was one of those convoys that actually got through without losing any ships. But killing quite a few German aircraft on the way. And there was a hell of a... boy, we had a lot of fun with the Russians when we got up there. They thought it was fantastic. And about 25 miles away, there was a German airfield. It didn't come near us. didn't come near us.
Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. I thought, well, we're going to have fun here, because they must know that this convoy has come through to Russia, and they must be pissed off with this. But it never appeared.
Do you think that was partly through the losses that they'd had from the reconnaissance aircraft?
Yes, yes, I think so. It certainly wasn't us that had done it, although we had anything that came near us, we killed them. And of course the weather was pretty fierce. In fact, we did it twice. Second time was a different captain, and he, I thought he was a right wanker, and not my sort of chap at all. And he let my squadron leader be told that there was an aircraft which was not tidy, standing on the deck ready to go. It was me. And so squadron leader came to me and said, "You've got a dirty aircraft." I thought, "This is crazy." We're waiting to go. Big storms, and this aircraft is stuck on the deck, and we're not going to go anywhere until the wind drops. And so I said, "Well, if you feel this way about it, I'll take another man with me, and we'll go aboard the aircraft, and we'll clean it." Well, we did that, and we nearly got blown away, and it was so stupid. And I thought, what's the guy in charge of this place now? However, that was all that happened.
So was the aircraft blown off the deck?
The aircraft was blown off the deck about 5 minutes after I left it.
Were there many days that you couldn't operate because of the weather on a Russian convoy?
No, not many. And indeed, mostly we would operate. The hell with the weather.
At this time, were you flying with a specific pilot at all? Had you crewed?
Yes, generally speaking. I had a very good pilot, and And generally speaking, I flew with him on three excursions of this kind, and then I had a couple of others. They're all good.
Was the first pilot Peter Lockwood? Is that your the main pilot you flew with at that
That's period? Ringing a bell.
How dangerous was it operating off the carrier's deck? And knowing what you're like for taking precautions, had you taken anything, any kind of precautions that you would make for if the aircraft should ditch in?
Yeah, I had told myself what I was going to do under most circumstances, but they involved rash movements, and I had I never had to do it, which I thought was a miracle, seeing what was happening, and especially coming back with a hole or two in your aircraft and still landing properly. I had good pilots, and I was lucky, wasn't I, really?
I was thinking, was there any techniques that you developed about if you had to, if you were in an aircraft that had ditched, what you would do? Would you?
I had practiced when I was on the battleship. I swam, and I swam all kinds of swims, and I think I was the best swimmer in the squadron. I mean, there may have been people who were quicker than me, but I don't think so.
Were there any accidents that occurred on the carrier?
All the time.
What would the main accidents be, really?
Landing. Landing, always. It was, you were in the Arctic convoys. And you had to get back on the ship. There's nowhere else to go, and therefore, I think I was surprised there were so few who were killed. There were a few killed. A lot of people were smashed, but they didn't die.
Would that be mainly them hitting the arrestor wires or the barrier?
The barrier. Hmm.
And I was wondering, with the Avenger being quite a big aircraft, were you catapulted off it from the aircraft carrier?
No. We could be. We were. From time to time, we were. Yes. But we could also get off the aircraft carrier without the use of a catapult.
And there was no problems getting such a large aircraft flying from the carrier?
No. Provided the guy who was running the carrier knew what he was doing. You want to be pointed in the right direction.
Was that sometimes a question that arose amongst you crew of the competency of the captains?
Yes, we talked about that a lot. But again, I can only speak personally. I had literally set myself to live, and I could hold my breath for 2 minutes. Now, there was nobody else did that or could do it, and I would practice that. I would sit and just hold my breath, and it meant that I was confident that if something happened, I would swim. Now, whether I would swim to success or I don't know, but I could hold my breath.
And would you be sticking to your no drinking rule on board the car?
Never drank. Still don't. As soon as I got into the Navy, no drinking. I'm not having it. I want to live.
Were you then involved in the kind of wardroom life? Because I imagine that revolved a lot around drink.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of playing cards. I played cards a lot. But I didn't drink. I think I must have been the only guy who didn't drink. Everybody drank. And as far as I was concerned, drank too much. And they were likely to die, and they did.
Would they drink the night before an operation?
Yes. Yep.
You seem very much like you'd said you determined to live and that you'd set these rules.
Mm.
How much though would that be a problem sometimes for you? Because obviously you have to rely on a pilot or on the captain of the ship, don't you? Or on the reliability of the aircraft.
Yes. Maybe the first thing to mention is that when you're on your way to Murmansk and it's rough, it's quite nerve-wracking. If you're out on the deck and the movements of the ship, I mean, they weren't big ships, and they took a terrific beating. And water would move around in all kinds of directions, but somehow I, at any rate, came out of it all right.
In those rough seas, would the water sometimes be on the carrier deck?
Not a lot.
But it could occur in the roughest of seas.
Yes, but I never thought. There was water on the carrier deck, but it didn't get in the way as far as I was concerned.
And if you'd have gone into the water, I imagine in those conditions you wouldn't have had very long.
I don't think.
Conditions.
However, I had practiced. I knew that it would need a bit of help. If I was going to get back aboard the ship, they would have to do something, and I think they would have done. I can think of five or six splashes into the sea, and I wasn't involved in any of them, but others made it, in other words, did it, and got back.
Would the aircraft have stayed afloat for some time?
No. No, I don't think so. No. Not in heavy water, no. I think it might do it, or it would do it, and up in the Orkneys, floating along nicely in a nice channel somewhere, but not on the way to Russia.
What kind of armaments were being carried by the Avenger when you were out on operations?
They were quite heavy machine guns, and initially there was a third man, a machine gunner, but I was one of the people who said, you don't need this, let's just have the pilot and me, and indeed that's what happened. We after about I think 3 or 4 months of parading up and down to Russia, I was alone, the pilot and me, and we didn't want air gunners. We hardly ever used the gun. It was that wasn't what we were for.
Would you carry bombs or depth
yes,
charges?
Bombs and depth charges, and which was useful stuff.
Did you make any strikes against the German forces at all while you were doing the convoys? Because I know sometimes aircraft carriers would launch aircraft against German airfields in northern Norway.
Well, we tackled the airfields in Norway, and but that was a different job. That wasn't with a sort of something you just did because you were bored. But those initial trips to Russia were much too serious for messing about. And but on the way back, we would go for a German airfield, and again we did it really rather well. But there was, every time one went away, there were several deaths.
How would the attacks on an airfield be organised? Would you go with fighter escort, or would you go alone, or how would you attack the airfield?
Alone. Yes, a few of you, three or four, would do it, and incidentally, we would not be attacking the airfield. We'd be attacking the shipping. And that was the job, and it was much more dangerous than going for the airfield, because you had a gunner pointed at you. And in fact, I was only thinking about it the other day. I was one of three who were sent back to do it again. And I went in and got away with it. And the next one in was an Edinburgh chap, Johnny Gaunt, and he got shot. This is very funny. It was sad because his father was waiting for us when we got back, and it so happened he was on a train when he saw the aircraft and got off the train and discovered it was his son's, and we had to tell him that his son was dead, and I knew that because I was with him. I was in the next aircraft, and that was very sad. Gaunt, Johnny Gaunt, his father was Gaunt.
Had he been hit by anti-aircraft fire from the ships when you'd attacked?
Yes. And I got back on, and it was unbelievable. The ship's doctor was there, of course, and he said, how did it go? And I said, oh, perfectly all right. He said, do you have a hole in your neck? I did. I didn't notice it.
Have you not noticed at all during the action taking place?
No, I was unaware of it. And it can only be that I had got my kit up and it had got through the kit, but it hadn't got through my neck. It had hit it, and I didn't notice it.
What was it, a small piece of shrapnel? Or?
I can't remember. No, it was a hole. It was... and people gathered around. It was so interesting.
Had you sort of been so engaged in what you were doing in many respects, yeah, when you made an attack like that, that you wouldn't notice things?
No, you wouldn't. I mean, if it had been a really hazardous, one would have noticed it. But I hadn't noticed it. I was a very powerful boy.